You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Hey, this is Banzai Retro Club. Can you dig it? I am Dave, and, well, you're not. So I'm continuing on with this Essential 1980s Movies podcast, talking about the next one on the list, which is actually 137, so I haven't gotten very far. I started at 140, so I'm working my way to number one. This is about the movie Crush Groove. So I'm going to insert the bumper here so we can kind of get that nostalgia vibe for what we're talking about, and you can kind of get into it.
Hey, check out the stars. Sheila E. Run DMC. The Fat Boys.
Yeah, the Fat Boys!
And Curtis Blow. The story.
It's a lot of screaming and noise. It's not music.
We're selling records we don't even have.
I want parents to turn this music off, all right?
The sound.
We all want the stuff found in a wildest dream. It gets kind of rough in the back of our limousine.
Don't you want to be a star?
And that's all you need to know.
Start rolling with the rush of Crush Groove. In the streets, the subways, and the clubs, they created the sound that will turn their world around. Crush Groove.
So I'm basing my this podcast on a list that I found online of the 140 essential 1980s movies. And what Rotten Tomatoes wrote in their article about the movie info for Crush Groove, it says the rap music craze provides the subject and the soundtrack for this musical about a young record producer, Blair Underwood, trying to start his own record label called Crush Groove. Musicians Run DMC, LL Cool J, New Edition, and Sheila E. co-star. It's rated R. Runtime's got 95 minutes, blah, blah, blah. You really don't care. Released in 1985. All right, well, coming clean. This is another one of those movies I have not seen. And I don't think that I am going to go the rest of my days having watched this movie. This one's going to pass me by. But I want to come... you know, give you guys a little backstory that there were some pop culture rap elements that I did get into and I enjoyed. So I want to spend some time on that. But before I go there, I just want to let you know that unlike most episodes, I did do a little tiny bit of research on this because I was curious about it. What I had in my brain was it was one of those movies that were about street performers that were kind of looking to obviously have some degree of success. And what I started to wrestle with in my brain was, you know, if those that were, you know, part of the streets, of the street scene, do they consider themselves a sellout when they have commercial success? So I started to think about that a little bit too much, and I thought I was going to go like into that topic a bit But I don't know how I feel about that, because I think if you do find commercial success in something that you, you're passionate about, that can't be a bad thing. That just cannot be. But I'm just wondering that if you get to the point where you're considered a, you know, air quote, sellout, then is there a problem when you're, you know, what you're doing is used to help market, like, I don't know, Cheetos? You know, if you're a street street artist, but let's say you're a somebody that does graffiti, and somebody recognizes your art and says, you know, you're really talented, and we want to use your art on bags of Fritos. Are you a sellout, or is it helping get your brand of art out to the masses? And how could that be a bad thing? So I wrestle with that for myself. So I don't know how exactly to tackle that. But still, I think it's an interesting topic to discuss. But for now, I'm under the impression that if you do find commercial success, that cannot be a horrible thing. If somebody's giving you money to do what you enjoy doing and what you're passionate about, I say more power to you. You know, please do it. Because you don't want to work for the man. Wow, geez, all of a sudden I sound like Cool Hand Luke right there. Anyway, what I did was I did do some research on this movie because I was curious about kind of the music of it. And I understand the genre. That's not really true. I guess I don't understand the genre because I'm not from the streets, but I've listened to the genre, if that's fair. So what I did was I did look up some of the tracks and I listened to them on YouTube because I was curious. I listened to the Debbie Harry. She did a song on this called Feel the Spin. I listened to Holly Rock by Sheila E. I listened to All You Can Eat by the Fat Boys. And She's On It by Beastie Boys. And then I Can't Live Without My Radio, LL Cool J. Out of all of those songs that I listened to, the only one I really got into and I really enjoyed was LL Cool J. I liked I Can't Live Without My Radio. I don't recall hearing that before, so maybe I wasn't that well into the rap music as much as I had originally thought. And I'm not saying that, you know, it wasn't played at one time in my presence, but it just didn't connect with me then. But now I really liked it. The Fat Boys All You Can Eat was, well, I'll say it. It was kind of dumb. Beastie Boys, She's On It. It's got to be like their freshman effort into making music, and it's nowhere near the quality that, like, Sabotage and You Gotta Fight for Your Right to Party. So I appreciate their effort, but it just didn't connect with me. Debbie Harry, if you ever watch the video Feel the Spin, it is so 1980s, but so it looks 1980s, but I don't like the song. And I think that, as I've said before, that, you know, if you have a connection with these things from back in the 1980s, then you kind of give them a pass when you listen to them when you're older in life. Since I don't have the connection with these songs, then I can't give them a pass right now, because when I listen to them, I'm like, yeah, that's kind of not connecting with me, and that's kind of dumb. In fact, I really didn't even make it past the whole video. Well, actually, I did for Beastie Boys and Fat Boys. But Holly Rock, I really couldn't get into. Even though Sheila E. is smoking hot, I can't. For some reason, I couldn't connect with the song, and it was just like, yeah, I'm not getting this. I did watch the Crush Groove All-Stars, which is Crush Groovin' song. So I did find that. Once again, really didn't connect to it. I'm not that familiar with Curtis Blow either, so I'll come out and be honest about that. So what I understand from Crush Groove movie, and this is based on what I see on Wikipedia, is really it's kind of a imagining backstory for Def Jam Records. And so it's kind of the imagining of what that was kind of like to get Def Jam going. So I appreciate that for trying to provide that kind of reference and backstory. I don't know if it's as true to life or anything, you know, in comparison to Def Jam, but for what it is, I realize it has time and its place in our 80s history. So personally, from my exposure to rap, and it's something that I've admitted to on the podcast, is that I've had what I consider to be a vanilla kind of exposure to music. And what I mean by that is normally the top 40 hits that got played on the radio and MTV a lot. I didn't really divest myself into things like the Yo MTV Raps or Headbangers Ball and get into deep tracks for specific artists. There's really none of them that I had that kind of connection to, and really the only band that I really spent a lot of time to listen to all their backtracks is Huey Lewis and the News. So that kind of tells you how far separated I am from the rap genre. You know, back to my point is, you know, what I liked about the when the culture of rap started becoming pretty predominant was the introduction of Run DMC and Aerosmith doing Walk This Way together. So I thought that was just awesome and groundbreaking. And what also became a pretty predominant thing for me personally was in my senior year of high school, we would do this thing where the seniors were allowed to leave during lunch to go to leave to go eat and then come back before their next period. And there was a friend of ours, Pedro, who had his truck, and there was about three of us that always loaded up in Pedro's truck, and we always went to Burger King during lunch break. And Pedro was a fan of this band called the Gucci Crew. I believe it was Gucci Crew 2. And so I got exposed to those guys, which were some deep track of rap music, and a little bit of the not appropriate for kids, if you will. But that was my senior year. That was, you know, getting in the back of Pedro's truck, him turning up Gucci Crew really loud, and us heading out to Burger King. And we would go grab lunch as quickly as we could before the next period bell rang, and be back. But for some reason, I always remember, you know, listening to that music and getting into it, because it was that was something I connected with. So being that was 88, 89, and Crush Groove was what? Crush Groove was 85. I just had to look that up. Sorry. I hadn't had that connection. I didn't have that personal connection, because I think back in 85, I was still in my Dungeons & Dragons days and fantasy, role-playing, The Hobbit, that kind of genre. and the crowd that I was hanging with wasn't really into the hip hop R&B stuff. So that's the reason why this movie passed me by. I had no interest in it at the time, and even now I doubt that if I'm scrolling Netflix or Hulu or one of those other on-demand type of venues and I see this movie that I'm ever going to click and watch it. So I'm going to go the rest of my days to say what I've seen online with the YouTube videos for the research of this particular show. This is going to be it for Crush Groove for me. I appreciate the talent, you know, for these artists that, you know, had created this and put this together. But yeah, it just wasn't my thing that year. And I've already, there's so many other things that I want to watch now that this isn't going to hit my radar. So this is not going to be on Dave's personal essential 1980s movie watch list, sorry to say. So if there are fans of Crush Groove that are now yelling at their phones as you listen to this podcast and you get mad at me, then, well, I've got a mic. You don't. You just have to deal with it. But no, I'm not going to be that kind of bad. I'm not going to be that kind of a jerk. So please just go ahead and shoot me a email at dave@bonsairetroclub.com and let me know your displeasure in my not giving the loved Crush Groove. I tried. But you gotta admit, you gotta give me a tiny, itty bitty little bit of credit because I have just done another episode on another movie that I haven't seen. That's kind of amazing, right? Do I get a little bit of credit, please? Pretty please? Alright, don't answer that. Anyway. So anyway, that's Crush Groove, as I tell everybody at the end of these things, let's be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Goodbye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
So, on the next episode, everybody cut loose, foot loose, kick off your Sunday shoes. That's right, we're talking Kevin Bacon. Tune in next time.